This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We welcome you back. Hope you had a nice weekend. We kick off a new week here, of course. The preseason is over. Joining us now is a media superstar, a professional bettor. His name is Steve Fezzik. Of course, you can find him all over at Fezzik Sports with two Z's and a K on Twitter. And his notes today are awesome. So we've got plenty to get to, including your questions, sharpmoney@vsin.com. But we have to start here. I have an obsession, Steve. My obsession is your obsession with Palinakis and the food. Okay, GRP Wins, your buddy that you met at Bet Bash. I noticed right before the program started here that you sent over an acai bowl to your buddy Palinakis. It's my new obsession, the two of you.
I don't know what an acai bowl is, but I had some fruit and yogurt, so I guess that's what it is. So bottom line, at GRP Wins, he sends healthy breakfast, all right? And then it's like, healthy if you're like an, what is the bad cholesterol, the HDL? That, like, if you're an HDL lover, it's healthy because it's not, you know, ham on the bone with eggs and extra bagels and the such, and hash browns made fresh. So I whenever I'm going to eat healthy, I think I'm going to send a picture of what a healthy meal actually looks like. Yes.
Yeah, we love it. We keep it going. Let's just go through your notes here. You, a free golf round at Wynn. Maybe tell people about a little review.
So good. So I have a 7-star at Caesars, and I see I'm going, and there's a status match at the Wynn. So if you have a 7-star, you walk up, they give you a Wynn Black card. Okay, I can park for free, no resort fees. It's got some nice perks. What's this, Patrick? Free golf for two at the Wynn. So I go there with some trepidation. I'm like, this isn't going to work, you know? It's like, what was it, Guardians of the Galaxy, when they have this plan, you know? And they're like, this isn't going to work. Or even like in Star Wars when they try to break into the detention center and they're just like, not going to work. And I'm like, I said, I'd like to play golf for two. I'm a Wynn Black. And the host punches me up and I'm like, he's going to see I don't have hardly any play. I'm donezo. And he's like, when do you want to play? I said, Sunday morning. He's like, you're good. Show up, boom. Bucket list. Got to play. I played the old Desert Inn, which is where the Wynn golf course is. It's much nicer than what the Desert Inn was because they have all these undulations and waterfalls. It was spectacular.
Now, that was Sunday morning. On Friday night, I heard you had a celebrity sighting at the Legacy Club, Dustin Sweetelson.
Oh, you know, it was so much fun. Derek Stevens is fantastic, but Dustin, you know, Dustin was making the rounds. I think he may have been upset with me because I wasn't checking my phone enough. So he texted me, and I did not reply, and I think he was angry at me.
I saw this video that we have here of Fez tweeting out the fireworks from Legacy Club. So I texted, hey, don't go anywhere. I'm coming up with JVT and Samich. We have a whole crew. Don't leave. Want to say hi. But Steve is, you know what? I have to say this is normal. Steve was busy having a night with his friends and did not have his phone out, was not staring at his phone texting. No, he didn't open it. He didn't even see the message till I got up there because he's normal. I get upstairs and it's him, it's the crack man, it's some other people, and they're just having a good time having drinks, sitting there at Legacy Club. I think it's the most normal thing Steve's ever done is not be checking his phone while he's out having a good time in town.
Yeah, so here, Dustin sends me, coming to Legacy Club with JVT, Samich, and Matt Brown. I'm trying to get JVT to consume lots of alcohol and calories so I can win my bet. No, he didn't write that. But just coming. So, like, I didn't get this. And then, like, 20 minutes later, I haven't read this. And I'm like, hey, they're the guys. You know, I wave. And Dustin's like, yeah, not responding. We're just going to go to the other side of the bar.
Oh, stop. You were busy. You guys were having a big business meeting. I didn't want to interrupt.
You know,
there's no way that he didn't comment to you and JVT about how you look.
He went up to both of us and did this with his hands around our bellies to see whose was bigger. He went this, then he went to JVT, then he went back to me, and he was okay.
You know, I love the Legacy Club. I love Circa. The fireworks on Friday night, the hands-on from Derek Stevens, like, first, I arrive, and it just makes me feel so welcome. And you know what? It really doesn't matter. You can be a janitor from Des Moines, or you can be, like, a billion-dollar hedge fund manager. Derek treats everybody the same, and I think it's just incredible.
There you go. We love it. Fezzik, big-timing Dustin. I like that. He did. Now, you were with quite a crew there, big guy. You, yeah, Jonathan Von Tobel, Samich, and Matt Brown.
And I was quite loose, if you know what I mean. I was in a mood, and I was pounding those vodka sodas without a lot of food in me. So, yeah, I was having a good time.
Patrick, question for you. So you go to valet, and the valet guy is, oh, here you go. Hey, be careful heading home. Is that not code for, you know what, just hold on and I'll be back in 90 minutes, right? They're basically telling you don't
yes.
do it, right?
The big guy was feeling no pain on Friday night.
Saturday was a little different. Saturday was kind of a rough day. I felt very old.
Speaking of feeling old, so I got to let you know, from historic Duck Creek today, Gil Alexander took out his frustrations of underperformances in the past, and he beat me on the tennis court like a drum. He smashed winners.
What happened, Fez?
He, you know what? He finally played up to his potential, and he out, like smarted me, because I dink all the time and hit, like, short balls to him, and he, like, returned the favor and drop-shotted me like crazy, not to mention just passed me, lobbed over me. It was just, and somehow I was up 13-4. He kept asking. Now, after he won the first set, he said, now, Steve, what were you up by again? Were you up like 17-2 or 13-4, Gil? And he's like, so I'm sure, do the math. He's like, outscored me from that point on a lot to a little, as he just whacked me like 21-8 in the second set.
Ooh.
So he took me out behind the woodshed.
Beat down, Mr. Fezzik. Hey, you said you need some help settling into dispute with Right Angle Sports.
Oh.
What's going on?
So what's this? I'm like happy. Everyone, we're all buddies, right? The guys come into town, and I even like take everybody to lunch, including someone from Right Angle Sports. I'm not going to mention names. Then what's this? I get this. There's this message comes aboard because I had a great weekend for my clients, and I'm going to ask you guys, because I want to take myself out of it. So I gave out a play. It was the Tennessee Titans from memory, first half money line. And I gave it out minus 225. And at the time, there was three books, DraftKings, BetMGM, and BetRivers, all had that number or a better number when I released. Raz responded, Steve is playing Steam. This game got hit earlier, which it did. Absolutely, it got hit. So I was laying more than what it would have been an hour before. He says, further, a lot of the sharp books were already at minus 260. And he's like, if he's playing against these books that are like fly-by-night books that shouldn't be, you know, no one's going to take you seriously if you list your plays against these books. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if I can't use DraftKings and BetMGM, I can't use Pinnacle because you can't bet in America. It's like, I can't use Circa because they're only in like six states or whatever it is. Like what books can I use, right? You guys tell me.
Are they saying you're not allowed to give out picks that are following the steam like that?
I'm not sure, but I think what they're saying is it should be widely available at the sharp books. And my take is, well, who knows what is a sharp book or a square book? My take has always been, if it's only available one book, that's not sufficient. So the rule has been it's got to be widely available, meaning it's got to be available at multiple books, which I've always defined to be three major books. Like, it doesn't count to, like, list the Treasure Island. That's not a major book. I'll get on my helicopter right now and fly over there and park on the roof and put my bed in. But it's got to be a place, you know, that is reasonably large. But I thought those three, I don't know if Bet Rivers qualifies, but certainly I would have said, you know, BetMGM and DraftKings would be two of the 10 that
Absolutely.
Would make my top 10 list. But Right Angle, to be fair, very smart guys, and they completely disagree.
Now, look, they're awesome. But have you ever just thought about maybe they're using you, Steve? Like, they always have an issue with things you do, and then you reply, and then your followers are now seeing you talking to them in your feeds, so that they're now latching on to the group of people that are following your like, just feels like they're just kind of using the attention you get.
Do you think he's being trolled?
I think they're taking advantage of the fact that he is a social media wild card, and a lot of people see his tweets. Not saying a lot of people don't see theirs. They have an awesome business. Everyone knows how sharp they are. But I do think they take shots. Steve claps back, trying to be the good guy, and then people get them in front of more eyeballs than they normally would be. That's all.
I don't know about this, but I did want to address, and I have a lot of respect for guys that go out, like Brad Powers does this, that buy other people's picks, and they get other people's picks and information, and they aggregate. Like Gil calls me, Fezzik is the great aggregator. And there's some people out there like, oh, Fez can't name a player. He's like, he's all he does is a follower. And it's just like, you know, guys, it. Because, like, I originate and innovate more than anybody. Like, if anyone that knows me, to say I can't make lines in the games that I personally, like the NFL, am specializing in, you're just an idiot. Like, I mean, like, you, I mean, give me a break. I mean, go talk to some of these bookmakers that put up openers and who's playing against them. How can I aggregate when I'm betting 8 seconds after the lines come out? Having said that, I think one of the best ways to win, and I would encourage everybody, is to absolutely get more information. I have no problem purchasing Right Angle Sports or Dr. Bob Sports. I purchase all these guys because having more information to make your final decisions about how you wager is ultimately where you can maximize what you're earning and maximize, frankly, the winning picks you give out to your clients.
Well, a very sharp book and bookmaker, plural, bookmakers, South Point. And your business is no good there because you originate.
You know, it's funny because I have a buddy, AJ Hoffman, and he just got a note. He's like, we're not going to be able to take any of your wagers anymore over the app, but feel free to bet in person. So he's got that. So very curious. AJ and I are buddies. I don't know what's going on there. Huh?
So, big guy, you think he's being trolled a little bit?
I think there's clout chasing happening. I think knowing that people react to everything Steve does on social, it's a great opportunity for them to jump on, have him react, and now their stuff's appearing in the people who want to get Steve's picks feed. That's all.
He's a big deal. People pay attention.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. We're going to come back. Steve's got 30 pending bets for football, and he doesn't like anything. What? He'll explain next. Okay, Ask a Pro with professional bettor Steve Fezzik coming up. Sharpmoney at vsin.com. Of course, Steve hanging out with Dustin at the D. I'm Patrick Maher live from Los Angeles. Let's get back into your notes. You said, let's talk about how I have 30 pending bets for this upcoming football season and how I really don't like anything very much. How is that possible?
Because the numbers aren't what they were when I released them. And it's all about getting the best of the numbers. So just as an example of one game, Atlanta-Pittsburgh, I gave out the Falcons -2.5 hosting Pittsburgh. You know, it's the funny thing about this game is early in the summer, Patrick, I thought Pittsburgh +3 was a great bet. And then I'm watching the preseason, it's like Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback. Russell Wilson looks completely shot. And, you know, Fields isn't going to play. And if he did, he's no better. And then Atlanta picks up a couple of new starters on defense, and I'm like, well, things have changed. Now I like Atlanta -2.5, but you know what? Now I got to lay 3. And that's a big difference between laying 2.5. And so many of my bets that I made during the summer have just moved so dramatically. And I think if there was one theme we saw, not that these games middled, but like SMU during the summer was like -18.5. And then it closes -28. And I can say in general, and we talk about the 8 of clubs betting method, it is almost never wrong to fade a line move that goes crazy. So a great example is like in the National League, when you look at Rookie of the Year, if you just look at the vagaries of which way the wind's blowing and Jackson Merrill hits another game, you know, winning home run, and now all of a sudden he becomes the favorite, and now is not the time to be betting on him. You basically want value.
So Skeens' next start, it'll probably flip again if Skeens goes crazy. I want to ask you about the line moves with college football, though, because I'm a bit of a donk. You know what I did? I had in my phone a notes with all the games when the openers came out that I loved. And all summer I kept going, okay, hasn't moved. Okay, hasn't moved. All of a sudden, season's creeping up. Week 0 starts to happen. And all the games I like have moved a point or two. And I'm still betting them because I do still like the numbers where we're at. But at what point should I be going, you know what, it's a month out, they haven't moved, I should bet them? Like, when should I be looking to finally get down? I feel like getting down in May and June when they come out is kind of crazy.
I don't know. It's difficult. And the reason it's difficult is, like, we'll consult for, like, betting funds. It's you start betting in May, and you're not going to get any of this money back until the earliest, you know, week 0. And I'm like, what's this? I said, oh, Georgia Tech +13. Head to the window. I finally got one of my bets where it's like it's actually resolved itself and I'm getting money back in my accounts. I have so much pending, and I'm not alone here, that it becomes difficult where you're like, all right, now I'm only going to bet like really good stuff. I bow to the altar of the closing line value. So the bottom line is sometimes closing line value is meaningless, and the most common time is during standalone games. So like Nevada, SMU, there's only one game going on, and there's a tsunami of money coming in on the favorite SMU. Same thing with the late game, the bailout game with Hawaii. Hey, Delaware State still hasn't made it to the islands, right? They're gonna have to fly through Saskatchewan, I believe, to get there. And so when the narrative is like so overwhelming, and you see like Hawaii go up as a 39.5-point favorite, and then SMU's laying 28.5, and it's just like enough is enough. You know, we know nothing, as Gil likes to say. We know nothing about these teams. We just have ideas, and those ideas could be wrong. And the only way SMU, and I know I'm past posting $80 mandatory fine, the only way that SMU can be laying 28.5 on the road in altitude in Nevada is if SMU is like top 20 and Nevada is like one of the five worst teams, which could be, but if they're not, it's the spread is just too high, and ultimately it was.
And you said college football summary, when a line moves too much, which is what we're discussing, you said it's almost always correct to play back.
I talk to Will Hill all the time about this. APB, always play back. He's got a should have bet more. And I'm like, yeah, should have bet more when the line was SMU minus 19. And now we should always play back Nevada plus 28.5 because the bottom line is it's just rarely wrong. You look at the Pittsburgh Steelers preseason. They're laying 3 against Detroit. Maybe a good bet. Line goes to 7. Take the Lions plus 7. Now, I know there are situations where you have absolute no-shows in games, and like the Broncos won a preseason game by a zillion. I mean, it does happen. And preseason, maybe you can argue it's a little bit of that case. But even the Tennessee Titans got like all this steam, and they barely held on to win the game outright, with the last-second score. It is just so difficult to win when a game moves through all these multiple key numbers.
Do you still, because it's been a long tested adage that pros love betting the preseason. Has that changed at all for you?
I've doubled down. I've tripled down on this. I got to tell you, my buddy, the Hitman, he's like texting me. He's like, I'm 12-2, but I really should be 14-0. You know, as far as like the bad beats that he's getting and the stuff. And it really is, he's maniacal. He is like hypercritical. I got to tell you this. Bet Bash, breaking news. Don't get mad at me, Tom. You're the best. He's like, how are these guys going and just hanging out and like going on scavenger hunts and just having a good old time? It's NFL preseason. They're dunks. This is like the greatest bets you could possibly ever make. And he's right. He follows all the beat writers. He's like, one team is going to play their ones. The other team's going to play their twos and threes. And you can get the first quarter at Pick'em. I mean, you're never going to find a bet on a side or total in the NFL during the regular season. Any bet is going to pale in comparison to that sort of edge.
So his cost-benefit analysis of time spent at Bet Bash, it's not a net plus.
Yeah, do you want to go to Bet Bash? Tom's like, yeah, but I can't afford the $80,000 it's going to cost me. That's his analysis.
Ooh, the Hitman who was on the show a couple of weeks ago.
That's a flex.
Very sharp guy.
That is a flex. I like it.
You know what I love about the Hitman? He's the first one to say this. He's like, it's like Wall Street, Gordon Gekko. He's like all these Ivy League guys, you know, with these educations, not worth dog, you know what, compared to give me a working class guy that's motivated and outworking everybody every single time. And that is the Hitman. Absolutely.
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. John Wooden.
What? Very good. Very good, Dustin. Michael Scott. The Hitman actually was a teacher, and it just became too profitable with his betting, so he quit teaching.
And he's the first to admit, you know, when he was a teacher, he's like, there was no real incentive for me to excel as a physical education teacher. He's like, I got to be honest, Steve, I'm a whole lot better at what I do now. Yes.
Yeah. Let's, Dustin, we should probably get started because questions coming in, sharpmoney@vsin.com, ask the pro. You can email your question in right now, get a shout out. Steve doesn't see the questions before and just extemporaneous, he goes off. And we love hearing the answers. So let's get it started here, big guy.
Antonio Hernandez writes in, Steve, how do you figure out a team's chance of winning a particular game?
Wow, that's a complicated question. But to answer it, I have power ratings that I give out in each and every team. So let's say one team is rated 5 points better than an average team like the Chiefs, and they're playing a dead average team like the Colts, neutral site, difference between the numbers would be a five-point spread. You convert that five-point spread to what I'd call a no-vig money line, which would be approximately, I'm sure right angle will tell me I messed this one up, but it would be like minus 208 plus 208. So then you take the probability to win that game, 208 divided by 308 as being, so you convert it over to a probability of victory.
There it is. Easily done. Good job, Steve. Hey, do you have a random thought on the Chargers this year?
Great question. I think the Chargers are one of those teams, you have to see it, all right? Because you've got, now they got a good coach. However, they have no skill position players, and they got a quarterback with plantar fasciitis that doesn't get to practice effectively with all the new skill position players. So maybe look to fade the Chargers early in the year would be my thought. And we talk about wise guys. We don't all agree. Like, the Hitman likes the Chargers minus 3, and it goes up to 3.5. And I'm like, it's a home game for the Raiders in Los Angeles. You realize that with a quarterback that isn't getting, you know, any real reps in practice, I would favor the Raiders in that game plus the 3.5. But I think the one theme would be the Chargers should improve throughout the year, especially if Herbert gets better.
Yeah, is it crazy, Steve, to look at a team like the Chargers? I'd say the Cardinals are in this category, and I would put the Titans, but I might be on an island there, where I want to back them as underdogs against the spread because I think they're going to be underrated in terms of what they're going to be getting each week. And just finding the right opportunities to take those points in the right matchup?
You know, it's interesting. We talk about the Chargers like being a dog. It seems like teams with some sort of San Diego affiliation, whether they're used to be there or they're currently there, the Padres and the Chargers, they sure feel like teams that we want to bet on them when they're underdogs and against them when they're favorites, right? They seem to, like, every one of their games seems to be close and could go either way, right?
And they underachieve a lot.
I just like the fact that Steve, he can bring the issue with Right Angle Sports up in any answer. He can tie it to any answer.
Hey,
that's impressive.
I love Right Angle Sports. Like, Right Angle Sports has had a documented, fantastic winning rate, but there hits a point where the feeding frenzy just gets too great. And I've told them years ago, I said, you're not going to hit 56% going forward. It's just not viable. And I caught all kinds of flack all over the internet, like, oh, no, why wouldn't they? And it's like, because it's like, even the last 3 years, the market has gotten so much more difficult to beat. And ultimately, they've still won, but they haven't won at nearly the same rate.
I bet you Palinakis hit 70%.
Only at the buffet.
Ask a pro. Sharpmoney at VSiN.com. More with Steve Fezzik next. Okay, quick note, Schefter reporting. The Titans are sending quarterback Malik Willis to the Packers in exchange for a 7th-round pick. So, of course, Willis likely to back up Jordan Love with the Green Bay Packers.
We or return.
Sharp.
Go ahead.
Go on, please, Steve.
Or he can return kickoffs for them.
Yeah, he could do. We were just commiserating over bad beats and potentially bad beats. What happened with your Titan game here?
I almost lost, and I'm sorry to interrupt. Finish your thought,
no, please.
At the end of the first, I pushed on the CFL 128-yard missed field goal Saskatchewan game like 10 days ago, and I said, that's the worst bad beat I'm ever going to see. And then Rufus Peabody alerted me. I was golfing at the Wynn. Patrick, he told me that there was a 105-yard missed field goal return the Titans in the first half, and they were up by 3, and I had the money line, and dude apparently got pushed out at the 1-yard line. So I almost got hit with the 106-yard, another missed field goal return to cost me a big bet.
We know Right Angle Sports was cheering against you in that one.
They do, you know it. Right Angle Sports does a great job, and I fully endorse them.
You do. You purchase their picks. What could be more of an
You like a lot of people who don't treat you very well. I give you credit.
You know,
you're a good guy.
Other than interrupting the show host, which I just felt terrible about, I really do evaluate people based on competency, number one. If somebody's really good at what they do, even if they tell me that I'm lousy and I can improve my game, they're probably right when they tell me that. So, I mean, I respect the people that I think are the best. And it's subjective. I could be wrong about select people. Absolutely.
Take the emotion out of it. Look at it objectively. I think that's how you why you've succeeded in sports betting.
I say it all the time if people ask me about Steve Fezzik. Greatest guy ever. He's just crazy.
It's not true.
just the best guy you're ever going to meet. A little wacko.
Like today.
Because his brain works differently.
Today, I'm making fun of poor GRP and how he's eating. All right, Patrick, I'm going to disclose that after my fruit bowl, we're downtown, we're here a little early. Evil pie. Yes, I had the slice of the goblin.
You got
meat
a slice?
Lovers. Yeah, it was delicious.
Yeah, see? He's a wild card. A granola bowl, off to get a slice before his big hit here on Sharp Money. That's Fez. Okay, let's get back to the questions. Ask a pro. SharpMoney at vsin.com.
Okay, Chase writes in, I got a question for Fez. Is he familiar with Bet Openly? What does he think about it? While the menu is small, I like the player-to-player format with reduced juice.
So I'm not familiar with Bet Openly, but when he responds player-to-player, what is he referring to, player props?
I think then? You can go, like, someone can say, I like New Mexico 13.5. Someone can say, well, then I like the other side. And you can just go head-to-head on the bet.
I love any betting exchanges where people are paying less on the vig and you're matching up bettors together. So I have no I'd have to look at the software, but I love the concept. Yes.
Did you enjoy the Traverse over the weekend? Down the stretch with, of course, Fierceness and Torpedo Anna battling it out there in horse racing?
So, of course, I followed Torpedo Anna back when she was just called. Yeah.
She's a filly, so yeah, it's a girl.
I ask Samich.
I'm on a heater over Samich right now. I'm killing Samich. I hit a, what was it on Friday? It paid out a lot anyway. It was like a 12-1 win or something like that.
Yeah, you won like what, $300 or something?
I won like $120 off like $10, but I also won like $600 2 weeks ago off of just betting Mike's picks at Saratoga.
Misclick.
I misclicked and bet it at Gulfstream, and it won at Gulfstream. Came in second at Saratoga. So I'm the best horse handicapper.
He was listening. That's why he came in and crushed it.
Oh, yeah, that's
said,
right.
I love the it was entertaining.
I got Patrick mad at me. So, yeah, to summarize, I said, you know, this is all entertaining and it's great. Bet $5, have fun. It's like people bet Keno for a couple dollars. They have fun while they're eating. I'm not against it.
I'm on a horse racing heater, Steve.
But,
you can't deny it.
But what I can deny is, like, I tell anyone out there, I'll tell Samus, like, he's super, super smart guy. With all the respect in the world. He's not going to win over his picks over the next 3 years. And I'm sure he would disagree and you say he will. I'd be more than happy to put up some money and the way winner and goes to the favorite charity of the other person, how someone will do in the long run. Now, in any 1 week, month, year, they could succeed. It's not that Samish isn't great at horse racing. It's just so difficult with the vig being so much.
It's easy for me. Fun name.
You've just thrown down the gauntlet. I'm cooking up a bet between Fezzik and Samish. There's something there, big guy.
Yeah, like one horse race a week versus one NFL game a week or something like that.
I will figure something out. We need to get a bet going between two sharp minds. Did you introduce Samich to Fezzik up at Legacy Club?
Yeah, you guys met there.
Yeah.
Was that the first time?
I think I met him once before. The bottom line is I don't want to bet against Samich's football selections. I definitely don't want to bet against his home teams, not to bat in the bottom of the ninth.
How about that one?
Ooh, that stuff is strong, people.
I think he forced the sports book to reassess their entire game plan for props by exposing that one.
Yes.
Time for another question for Mr. Fezzik. Ask the pro. What do we have?
Okay. This is from Brody. Brody says, with all the big line moves during preseason and into college football, people often talk about middling opportunities. One, do you do this often? Two, if so, do you recommend making even bets on both sides, or do you place a bigger bet on one side?
God, that's a great question. It's so complicated. Back to Will Hill, where I always text him when a big line move goes down. Always play back. So it depends upon what you're able to get. Let's use that SMU-Nevada game, all right? And here's why. If you bet SMU minus 19, maybe you didn't get as much back as you might in another circumstance, because this was a situation that closed, the line was 28. But the sharpest books in the world, the Circas and the like, and the reduced vig places, were actually popping the 28.5s. That's a situation where I would play back, but I might play back maybe 50% of what my bet was. But now let's assume Circa suddenly drops like 10 minutes before the game starts to 27. And so does Pinnacle and so does Bookmaker. But there's still 28s and 28.5s at more recreational books. I'm not going to name like the recreational books, you know, maybe not the sharpest books on the screen,
sure,
like South Point. So a book like that would be a place that you would absolutely, in that case, you would walk up and say, give me the limit on Nevada plus the 28.5, because you're getting the rogue number that is not widely available. But the book is actually so inundated with so much liability and parlay liability, they're happy for the most part unless you're a jerk, they'll let you bet, and they'll go ahead and take that action back. So in this case, I would have played modestly back on Nevada, but in the circumstance I described, I would have bet much bigger if that had been the case.
Okay. Dustin, do we have one more? Time for one more.
We got a few more. Let me go. Alan Castle writes in again. Every gambler that I know has a system that is tough to follow and a bit crazy. I certainly have a few. Do you have systems that are tough to follow?
Of course, you know, and ideally, and you don't talk about them on air, but the best is when you have a very simplistic system. I'll give one for everyone next year going forward. How about this for a simplistic system? I think week three, the last week of preseason, I think play the first half over and the second half under. Doesn't it seem like a lot of these teams, they want to get, you know, have a good drive under their belt, feel good about going into the regular season, but then once it gets to halftime, it's like, let's just keep everybody healthy. What do you guys think of that simplistic system?
Yeah, they're super scripted on the first couple of drives, and then they just shut it down. So I think there's something to that. You saw it with Bryce Young. You saw it with Anthony Richardson. You know, even the Steelers, their first drives, they led touchdown drives. So I think there's something to that. Okay. And we can measure it next year.
Yeah.
Curious if we have a third week of the preseason next year.
You know, I'm old enough. Back in 1973, the Bengals, Kenny Anderson, and the like, you had 14 games and 6 preseason games. So what were they thinking, right, that so much of the season was just preseason during August?
Not fun. No. One more. We have time for one more, big guy.
Mike from New Hampshire. What NFL props is Steve focusing on? Touchdown, first touchdown, yardage, reception, rush attempts. Are there markets he finds little to no worth with or others that he likes better with edges?
Okay, so listen, I think we have a unique opportunity here with the kickoff rules such that the average field position is going to be instead of like the 25, like the 28.5. And we've spoken about this on the show before. So I think scoring from the kickoff rule change is going to go up. Now, there might be other factors that will depress scoring, but the kickoff change will help scoring. But yardage-wise, it's going to hurt yardage because it's harder to accumulate yards the further you drive down the field condenses. And so because of this, I already like skill position players under for the season. And now when you've got this situation where yardage is going to be a little more of a premium, I think you've got marginal good bets that just became better good bets just from these new kickoff rules. So I would encourage everyone, I'm not going to tell you specific bets, but if you go out there and if you play by example, every skill position player under, you have always won doing that, largely because of the injury risk. But now I think you're going to go ahead and do the injury risk and because of a shortened average yardage in the NFL games.
Tremendous performance as always. Any last thoughts on the way out? The floor is yours.
You know, if you buy somebody lunch, you usually don't expect, like, within 2 weeks that you're going to get, like, publicly attacked. So be careful out there, people.
If breaking bread isn't what it used to be.
It's certainly an interesting industry, Steve. Yes.
I have no comment.
If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything, correct?
Yes. Kurt.
Fezzik Sports, keep up with all the action. We're going to come back with our family plays next here. Sharp Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Got some family plays to get to. I'm Patrick Maher, live from L.A. Of course, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. At the D in downtown Las Vegas, we should discuss because he wanted me to pass it along. So, Steve, we went to break, and he was obsessing over the fact that he interrupted me. First off, I don't care. It would be impossible to care less if you guys interrupt me. It literally doesn't matter. But he was obsessing over apologizing. Wouldn't stop.
Yeah, but that's the perfectionist you're dealing with there. That's why he obsesses over everything. That's why he is obsessed with CLV and the numbers and betting the best of the number and not pulling the trigger unless he absolutely loves it. Like, that's the whole personality. So when he does the opposite of CLV for our segment, he feels bad about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's just the way his brain works.
Yeah.
He gets on something, he becomes obsessed with it, like Palinakis with the food.
Can't stop.
And he just goes all the way in. I didn't even understand what happened with him in Right Angle Sports.
All right. They were commenting on his pick, saying that he was steam chasing, and then saying, I guess, criticizing that he was giving it out at a number that wasn't widely available nationally, but it was available at like $3. Look, it's like when the drinking age was 18 in some states and 21 in others. Like, at this point with betting, the numbers are going to be different at different sports books everywhere. He's selling to a national clientele, of course, that's not going to be applicable at every single sports book in every single state.
Okay. And so they called him out.
Yeah, and they like pushing his buttons, because then he replies and becomes a whole thing, and then we have Twitter wars, and Steve's like, I think other people have anger, and I don't think Steve actually gets angry when he's going back and forth.
No, he doesn't.
People.
That's the thing. He just separates him. He's constantly just curious and mixing it up.
Yeah. He's having discourse. He's into the discourse. But I think they're trying to troll him. I think they're trying to go at him and call him out.
Okay. Well, it happens.
Yeah.
People in social media.
Look, whatever your mental health illness is, that's what plays out on your social media feed. We all have them.
Every single time.
We all have them.
Every single time. All right. Speaking of have them, we've got family plays. I believe we're going to start with Stuart Durst here, big guy.
Oh, you know what? I forgot we also have a John Bowman play today. So Stuart Durst, we've got him looking at a baseball prop. He does a great job at Monotone Football. Really happy for the guy. He's been a part of this program for a few months now, and he's always looking at great angles for us. So here's our guy, Stuart Durst, with his Sharp Money Family Play for Monday.
Sharp Money Family Play.
What's up, Sharp Money family? Stuart Durst at Monotone Football here, and today's best bet of the day is going to be Jurickson Profar, over 1.5 hits, plus runs, plus RBIs. He's been one of my favorite targets, almost behind Merrill on this Padres team, but it looks like the pricing caught up to Merrill a little bit with this Rookie of the Year surge. Not so much on Profar, still hitting .292 on the season, but one of the reasons I like him most for hits, runs, RBI is not only is he up early in this high-powered Padres offense with a lot of good run potential with guys like Machado behind him, Mero behind him, but also he has sneaky RBI upside. He's hitting .282 with runners in scoring position so far this year. He's been fantastic when it matters the most, coming in with some good recent form over in 4 straight. What I really like, though, is the matchup against Gibson. He relies a lot on different variations of the fastball and then keeps hitters honest with the sweeper. Unfortunately, his two biggest pitches, the cutter and sweeper, are both getting crushed by Profar this season, over .350 against both of those two pitches. I think he's going to have a lot of success today, and I think he's going to be a big reason why the Padres keep the train rolling.
Okay, good job, Stuart Durst. All the picks over at VSiN.com with the best bets. You mentioned John Bowman, former scout with the Jays. He's got a baseball play for us today as well.
Find him on Twitter at JohnBowman11. Baseball with Bowman's where all of his baseball handicapping is, and here he is with a Sharp Money family play for today.
What's up, Sharp Money? John Bowman here from Baseball with Bowman, and I just wanted to give you guys my favorite play for today. We're going to go with the Astros on the money line, plus +145 against the Phillies. A little bit of a contrarian play here, but I think this number is way too high for the Phillies right now. It's absolutely skyrocketing for them. Zach Wheeler's been pitching great. He's been consistent all season. Renaud Blanco has struggled a little bit more lately, but the Astros have been playing very well, especially on the road. They're 10-3 since the trade deadline there. They're hitting righties very well, and they have the second best bullpen in the league since the trade deadline. So I think there's plenty of value on the Astros at plus money over the Phillies here.
Astros at a plus price for Mr. Ball. You were smiling while he said it.
Because he's really good at finding those, and I was considering it, but when I dove into it, I ended up doing something with the other side. But I might have got too cute, and Bowman might be just looking at this straightforward. I saw it at $1.52 right before the show starts. It's one of those deals where it's like, it might be worth a shot. Ronel Blanco actually has been better on the road, but based on his last few starts, I think the innings might be wearing on him, and he might be slowing down some. All right, I went with the other side.
Okay, part of the family, of course. I believe Aaron Halterman has texted over a pick, didn't have a chance to get a video in. And who else do we have?
Eric Lindquist, our guy from Odd Shopper, is going to be on the show tomorrow talking baseball. Halterman, the plus money prince, due to Bet Sports is his podcast. He likes the Braves, plus +105 at the Twins. It's Fried versus Ober in that one. And then Eric Lindquist went to the WNBA. He said he loves this prop. Tina Charles. I should have looked up who she plays for. Tina Charles, over 23.5 points plus rebounds.
Okay. Thank you, boys.
She plays for the Dream, the Atlanta Dream. She's the center.
Of course, everybody knows that.
Everyone.
As far as what's happening, the Cowboys extended CeeDee Lamb. The Chiefs have reached a deal to reunite with Juju Smith-Schuster.
It's interesting.
That's pretty much the only thing that's going
Tim Patrick.
On right now. Tim Patrick, yeah. Are the Broncos moving on?
Yeah, the Broncos moving on from Tim Patrick per Mike Kliss of 9 News. They're exploring trade possibilities. There is a market for him, apparently, but they're going to roll with everyone else at receiver. Patrick's just been hurt, but he's been really productive when he was healthy in the past.
100%. Okay, big guy. We have plenty of time for closing tabs. Also, I think you've got a baseball play you want to give out.
Yeah, let's go with I'm going to give out my Phillies play here. There's a bunch of other bets available at VSiN.com/picks. I'm going to go Zach Wheeler, 5-plus strikeouts, and the Phillies win minus 130 against the Astros. Wheeler's all the way back to being himself. He had a 1.73 ERA so far in August. He's had 5 strikeouts in 10 straight starts. He has a 2.40 home ERA. This game's back at Citizens Bank. And I think Blanco, the ERA shows that he's starting to fade. A 4.34 ERA in August. He was 4.40 in July. This Phillies offense is finally back to heating up as well. They scored 26 runs in 3 games at the Royals over the weekend. I'm going to back the better offense, the better pitcher, and I'm going to turn that into a from minus 180 to minus 130 by putting in Wheeler 5-plus Ks, because 10 in a row, it just says he's going to do it again.
Hey, nice work. Zach Wheeler all the way back. Just like closing tabs on a Monday.
All right.
What do you got?
Closing tabs. Max Hoffmeyer writes in, I like that Fezzik mentioned straight up that he buys other services because he wants to know who is on what. Nobody shames Warren Buffett and investors following his portfolio because they're not originating their own stocks. Same should
Very
apply
true.
To betting. Yeah.
It's just, why wouldn't you want as much information as possible? Totally yeah. agree.
Let's see. The Goonies, Patrick. You have never seen it. Rotten Tomatoes, 77% tomato meter, 91% popcorn meter. The audience loves The Goonies, one of the all-time greats.
I couldn't even tell you. So Goonies, it's about some kids.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
You got that's like 90% of the plot. Just a bunch of kids looking for buried treasure in their hometown. It's an obsession, and they loop a bunch of people in. There's some villains. There's some weirdos. It's a great mix. Some classic lines.
Did they find the treasure?
I can't give that away.
Alert.
I can't give that away.
Okay, my assumption is they may have found the booty.
Don't we all wish we could? Speaking of booty, I mentioned General Booty, former quarterback for Oklahoma. He was named over the weekend the starting quarterback for the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks. He's the nephew of John David Booty and for former Marlins third baseman and NFL quarterback Josh Booty.
Yep, General Booty. It's quite a name.
It's a great name.
Why did Gabriel bail on Oklahoma? Do you know that answer?
Because Jeff Lebby got the Mississippi State job, and he was only at Oklahoma because he was following Jeff Lebby, who he had as OC at UCF.
It's a good answer.
And
what
he
else?
And he was not going to go to Mississippi State, I can tell you that.
No.
You started the show talking about that you were betting Icelandic soccer. It's funny that soccer is actually the most popular sport in Iceland. Handball's popular, and apparently a lot of horse racing stuff, skiing and snowboarding. Not listed hockey, which is weird, because Iceland was the hockey villains in D2, the Mighty Ducks are back.
You ever been to Iceland?
No, but it's not that far. It looks really cool.
Been there on a layover, just the airport.
But it's got a different Basic look care. And vibe. I mean, the Vikings discovered it. It's awesome.
Yeah, 100%. What else?
Açaí, a sweet Brazilian snack food from the Amazonas. It's a dish made with frozen and mashed fruit of the açaí palm, described as having an earthy or creamy taste. I've never had açaí. It just looks like weird yogurt.
Oh, it's tremendous. You got to be careful with these bowls, though, because oftentimes just loaded with sugar.
Ends up being 500 bowls. And also on this date, 1968, Hey Jude was released.
Is it a banger? Is it a bop?
It is a bop.
I want to thank Chris Plank for joining John Middlecoff and the great Steve Fezzik. Great job by you, Dustin Sweetelson. A banner show today. And guess what? It don't stop. We're back tomorrow. Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.